Well, what a joy it is to be with Regency Baptist Church this evening. We're delighted to come to you from Virginia. And that was my son and daughter-in-law, my daughter and son-in-law that sang with me a song called Simply Trusting Every Day, Trusting Through the Stormy Way. And the title of my message this evening is, Have You Lost Your Song? You know, it's very interesting. Moses, of course, was the leader of 2 million people. And of course, they came out of Egyptian bondage and they were in the wilderness. And the Red Sea came before them. And the Bible tells us, I'd like you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 14, the Bible tells us that the Lord said unto the people, Fear ye not, verse 13 of chapter 14, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You remember when they were there at the Red Sea and they were wondering, what are we going to do? The Egyptians are coming. We are going to be brought back into bondage. And God's word made it so clear that they were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, when trial comes and difficulty comes and circumstances come that really cause us to go, wow, what is happening? That's where the Israelites were. And the Lord simply told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. I want you to notice that God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That stopped them. And then the Lord said to them, go forward. And they went forward. And they, as they touched the water of the Red Sea, it parted. And they went across on dry ground. And then we see here in chapter 15, look with me in chapter 15, Moses is a songwriter. It tells us here that he wrote a song. It's called the Song of Moses. I want you to look with me there at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown unto the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And it goes on throughout this chapter, and it talks about what Moses had on his heart, and he basically is sharing with them that they have come across out of bondage, and now they are freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. Now it is time for God, who has brought them out, to give them a song and to help them. The Bible also tells us that Miriam, she was also leading folks in a song that was triumphantly glorious. Everybody was excited. They'd been delivered. Do you remember when the Lord brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Do you remember the day you got saved and your life and the course of your life changed? It was because God had become a part of your life and he gave you a new song. Then we notice, I'd like you to go with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, to chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is another passage of scripture where the whole chapter, chapter 32, is about the song of Moses. It's interesting here that he begins to share with them. I want to read to you, beginning in verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He's instructing them. He is saying he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Moses was doing his very best to bring those 12 tribes of Israel together to help them to understand this is something God did. And I don't doubt at all, but what all of the Israelites, as they walked across on dry ground, they must have been so shocked at what God did that when they got the last Israelite took his foot out of that water, all of that water began to come down upon the Egyptians, and the Bible talks about how they were destroyed and the chariots and all of that. In fact, archaeologists have proven that it's true, that it really did happen. And again, God has proven himself that he is mighty beyond what we could comprehend. Why would we let a problem come into our lives that would cause us to no longer have a song, no longer have the joy of the Lord in our hearts? I love to go to that passage in John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I am come that ye might have what? Life, and that ye might have it what? More abundantly." You know, the only way that God can get any glory out of trouble that comes our way is how we react to it. If we lose our song, and I'll talk about that in a moment, some of the songs that people have today that are not songs of glory to God. So I want you to go with me down to verse 10. Would you turn to verse 10? He's talking about how great the Lord is. In verse 8 it says, "When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he sent a bound of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is with his people." I love that statement. The Lord's portion is his people. Did you know that you glorify God when you have a song of joy? Notice what else it says. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Notice these words. Now I want you to underline them here in the next few verses. These are the things that God gives you when you have a song like Moses did. Notice what it says in verse 10. It says, "He found him in a desert land." He found him. You know, we try to think sometimes that man is seeking after God, but really God is seeking after man. He said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." It's like God is seeking us. He is looking for us. He wants to find us. And when he finds us, he begins to convict us and show us our need of a Savior. And then he converts us unto himself. And then he begins to pour out his blessing upon our lives to where we are like, wow, what a Christian life this is. And you know, I've never known anybody that really got saved that ever regretted the true life, the abundant life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he found us. Where did he find you? He found me in a rocking chair in our cottage on Round Lake in Sonora, New York. And that's where I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Not only does he find us, but then notice also in verse 10, he led me. Aren't you glad that you aren't alone in this world? He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That means he's there to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. I'm no longer alone. I have his direction. He knows what's best for me. He knows what I need. If I would just simply stay close to him and follow in his steps, I will be right there where he is, and I will experience everything that he wants me to have. I think it's wonderful. You know, if a grandfather has his grandchildren with them and they're right there and he offers to buy them something, they're like, "Oh, sure, I'd love that." But if they've wandered off, they're not going to know that I had something I wanted to give them. And I really believe God is that way. He says, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask?" So he leads us, and we must stay close to him. Then I want you to notice, he instructs us. Look there in verse 10, it says he instructed him. I am so thrilled that we learn of the Lord. If you look up here at verse, go back to chapter 31 there and verse 21. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song, Moses' song, shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imaginations which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Aren't you glad that God's an instructor? I love the fact that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus went to glory, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt in mankind, and he lives in us. We are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter. And it's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that guides us into all truth. He's our instructor. Whenever you are about ready to make a decision, the Holy Spirit will definitely let you know what he thinks. And aren't you glad that when you are so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he's going to say, I wouldn't do that. And then you don't do it, and you find joy in being obedient to the Lord. So he's an instructor. Then I want you to notice, he's not only an instructor, but then I want you to notice that we're kept by him. Notice this, verse 10. It says, not only does he instruct us, but then he kept him as the apple of his eye. He kept him. Did you know once you're truly born of the Spirit of God, you're forever born of the Spirit of God? When you trusted Jesus and allowed him to become Lord of your life, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He also said that we are in the Father's hand. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. We are kept by the power of Almighty God. Not only does he save us, but he keeps us saved. I can't lose my salvation because I'm not holding on to it. He's holding on to me. Then I want you to notice in verse 11, he goes on to say that he lifted me. Now the words he lifted me are not there, but listen to the words. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Wow. You talk about being above the circumstances. You know, they say, have you ever seen an eagle flying? How beautiful they are. And he's saying, I want to take you on eagle's wings. I want you to soar above your problems. I want you to soar above this epidemic. I want you to soar above the things that you can't change. I want you to literally be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And if Christians are not lifted up by God's power, who's going to want to be a Christian? This is why it's so important for us to have the joy of the Lord. He's lifted us. He's brought us up above the circumstances. Then I want you to notice in verse 13, it says, he made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the field. The Bible makes it clear that he's going to feed us. Oh, I just am amazed on God's provision. God has always taken care of us. God has always provided. We have never been without. And you know, he feeds us not only physically, but he feeds us spiritually. And you know what's happened before the epidemic that came to our country? Many people that know the Lord are out of church, uninterested in spiritual things. We call them hypocrites. We call them people that are away from God. I've been praying that God would somehow bring these people to the place where they get hungry for God again. They get to the place in their life where they are dissatisfied with the world and the flesh and the devil. That they would come to the place where they would say, I've got to get back to church. I need my spirit to be fed. Some people are so interested in making money that that's their God. And they're living for money. As long as money's coming in, oh, they're happy. But look what happens when the money dries up. Look what happens when we go through seasons of great suffering and difficulty. We're not above suffering. You go through the whole Bible and you'll find believers suffered. Some were martyred. Some gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And the Bible says the world was not worthy of them. And through the affliction that the world put upon them, their lives were taken out in martyrdom. Some of them were starved. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to read it, it just shows that people were sawn asunder. They went through all kinds of horrible things for their faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Those people had a song. And the joy of the Lord was their strength through the midst of trouble. So here we see Moses in his song of praise to God is letting the Israelites know this is what God has done. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. I want to ask you a question. Are you singing the right song? You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Knickerbocker? You know, we're either going to sing one type of song or another. It's basically only two types of songs that are sung. There's the song of praise unto our God, marvelous, wonderful things he's doing. Or it's a song that is somber and that is lamenting. We call it a dirge. A dirge is a song where people are speaking bitterness. They're speaking animosity. They're speaking blame. They're speaking, it's not fair. Why is this happening to me? And I wanted to illustrate it to you by giving you some words to think on. You either have a song of praise or you have a song of criticism. You either have a song of perfection because of God's power or a dirge of rebellion against God. You either have a song of purity where your life is clean and you're not defiling yourself with the filth of this world, or you're going to live in a dirge of filthiness. You're either going to have a song of promise, believing God for miracles and great things that can happen. Or you're going to be like the Israelites who had a dirge of forgetfulness. You know, it wasn't long after Moses finished his song in the very next chapter, there was no water at Marah. And the Bible tells us that they began to murmur and complain. You see, when God said, I'm going to take care of you, you must trust him. Just because there's no water doesn't mean God can't bring water out of a rock. It doesn't mean that God can't bring manna from heaven. You see, I believe sometimes God puts us in a place where we have to completely trust him, even though the circumstances don't look like he's coming through. So instead of being so spoiled and so naive spiritually to where if something doesn't happen the way we want it to, we get mad, we get upset, we get bitter. There are people that have blamed God for something that happened 20, 30 years ago, and yet God has maintained their cause ever since, and yet they're living a life of a dirge of forgetfulness. How about a song of purpose? We should have purpose. You know, when God had purpose for Israel, he brought them across the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness. Get this. An 11-day trip to the promised land took 40 years. You know why? Because the purpose that God had for their life, they rejected it. They even wanted to go back to Egyptian bondage. They had a dirge of wandering. Instead of having purpose, you know, the only two that had purpose was Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones that said, let's go and conquer. Let's move forward. Let's have some victory. But no, all the rest gave a negative attitude, and it caused Israel to wander till all those people died off so that they could go in to the promised land. I say to you that God gives a song of warning. Believe me, Moses' song was a song of warning to the people of God. But they looked at it as a dirge of apostasy. They started worshiping other gods. They started going after all kinds of horrible things. And I won't even get into all the terrible things Israel did. Most of us know the rebellion and the ungodliness and the anarchy. that came upon the Israelites, it wasn't because God desired that. God warned them, don't do that. And the very thing that he told them not to do, they did it anyway. They had an apathetic heart. And oh, what a sad thing it is when that happens. You could have a song of peace or a song of anarchy. A song of possibilities. You know what I'd like to see the Lord do in the midst of this coronavirus? I'd like to see that when it gets to the place where the government says that we can now meet again, and the bans have all been lifted, and the virus is pretty well gone, I would hope that people that call themselves Christians would get back to church and never miss unless providentially hindered. Is that asking too much? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm ready for him to come for us. And I want you to be ready. If you're not saved, please quit singing the dirges of unhappiness and ungodliness and start singing the songs of possibility and peace and joy. God wants to give those things to us. As I was preparing this message, thinking about a song, I came across that song, Simply Trusting, that we sang a few moments ago. Simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way, even when our faith is small. Simply trusting. That's all. God makes it so simple, doesn't he? Trusting when the moments fly, trusting when the days go by, trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus. That's all. Brightly beams his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus. That's all. Singing if the way be clear. Singing if the path be drear. Are we going to think that our Christian lives are not going to have some disappointments? But we're supposed to pray when the path is drear. If in danger, for him call. Not in complaint, but in worship and praise to him. Trust Jesus. That's all that you need to do. You see, this song was written as a poem by Edgar Page Stilts. It was a poem. D.L. Moody came across this poem and he got Ira Sankey to put words to it. And that's where Simply Trusting, the song, came from. There was a pastor that had been, he visited a woman who had suffered from an incurable disease. I said an incurable disease. Great was her agony of body. Her distress of mind was greater still. One day she said, the future is so dark. The preacher said, can't you trust yourself in God's hands? She replied, no, I can't leave myself there. So the preacher repeated the hymn, Simply Trusting, every day, and especially dealt with the refrain, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Ah, she said, I can trust him this moment. Is it like that? I then began the hymn, singing the hymn to her, and the change that came over her heart was wonderful. She never lost after that day her trust in God. And she had the pages of the hymnal opened to that hymn, Simply Trusting, so that when people would come by to see her, they would read those words to her again and again and again. After many months of intense suffering, she passed away into the presence of the Lord, Simply Trusting, to the land where she knew there would be no pain. I want to say to you folks, don't lose your song. Our Heavenly Father, Oh God, in these days when we sometimes become so burdened down with the cares of this world, the difficulties, the problems, the things that happen to us that are totally beyond our understanding. We know there's a God that understands it all. That nothing comes into our life but it crosses the desk of God. He knows what's happening in our lives at every moment. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, I pray that you would undergird us and strengthen us and empower us to be like the eagles, above the circumstances. May we be fed the word of God. May we trust the Lord. May we lean heavily upon him. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that's not saved, oh, may they bow their head in repentance and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell and judgment for my sin, but I know Jesus loved me and died for me to save my soul. And I come to him the best I know how, saying, oh God, forgive me. Thank you for sending your son to die for me and shedding his blood for my sin. And I trust Jesus, simply trust Jesus and him alone for my soul's salvation. Oh Lord, may some people do that and contact us and let us know that they have found Jesus to be the Lord of all. For you that are listening that are saved, maybe your life has been more of a dirge as a Christian than it has been a song. I want to encourage you to get alone with God, fall upon your face before him and say, oh God, forgive me for not loving you unconditionally and not trusting you explicitly. And ask him to empower you to live the simple life, the simply trusting life, the life that comes when we are in his care. May the Lord bless you and may God do a mighty work in your life. Thank you and God bless.